I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. We are live at Jake's in Fort Worth. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for enjoying Rangers baseball. We have about 2 hours and 15 minutes of show coming up here for you. As, you know, we try to make the most of it. Rangers lose 3 of 4. Had a couple of Cowboys practices the last couple of nights. So there's a lot of good stuff to talk about. How the heck you guys doing?
Doing great, man. Doing great. Great to be in the 817 right here in Fort Worth. I know you guys had a little bit of a trek, but it feels good to have a bit of a home game. And this is a sick, nasty Jake's. How about that? You get a little double-decker action.
This is great. This is great. I love downtown Fort Worth.
It's a place to be.
It's amazing to be here. And we do have Fan Phenom coming up tonight. Zach Wolchuk is going to be hosting.
Hut hut.
And the dining room already starting to populate with a number of hopeful Tolos here tonight. Wolchuk, you gonna guide them through this process?
I hope so. This is going to be my maiden voyage, so I'm going to be learning just like they are. And we'll really the key here will be how many show up. If you don't have a lot show up, I'll give you more time. If we have a lot of people, I got an hour drive home. So come in ready to rock. Get in quick with your takes, and we're getting the hell out of here, boys and girls.
No pushback from Wolchuk tonight? You're not going to be trying to spar in there on some takes?
It depends on what the take is. If it's one that I do think is totally foolish, then maybe I'll give him a little, hey, this is what it would really be like if we're going to go back and forth on here. But I'm excited. We had a lot of awesome Tolos that have already stopped by and said hello. Of course, Richie's waiting. We got our guy Vin. Jason's here in the building. We got a lovely family. Moses right in front of us, big-time Tolo as well. So
legend.
I'm expecting a big-time crowd out here for the Fort Worth of Jakes.
The first two were amazing, and the talent is rich. So please bring your skills down here to Jakes in Fort Worth. It's been DFW's go-to spot since 1985. As Jared Sandler joins us here live from the road in Kansas City. Buddy, how the heck are you?
Yeah, a little bummed. Obviously, the series didn't start the way that the Rangers would have liked, losing the first two. But after the win yesterday, you feel like, all right, hey, you take a game here today. You don't lose any ground over the Royals overall. And you got Nathan Eovaldi pitching tomorrow to begin a series against the Guardians. And you know, maybe you can get on a roll, but Rangers had chances, and I think over the course of a season, everyone kind of has the things that stand out to them, and their themes that you just weave throughout. And one of the things for me, and I know I've talked to you guys about it, the home run ball. And again today, the Rangers are out homer 2-0, and even though they out hit the Royals, it's not just that the home runs were the difference. That's not necessarily fair to say, but the Rangers weren't able to get that one big swing, that one big hit to, gain separation or whatever. I know they had the three-run inning to erase a three-run deficit. They took advantage of a gift, what should have been an inning-ending double play with the ball that was thrown away or not received at second. But, at the end of the day, the Rangers put some hits together. They just couldn't get that one big swing or, get someone to help put up a big-time number in a game which seemed like maybe Michael Lorenzen was gettable.
Sure could use a pass, Quantino. Tell you that
yeah,
much.
Yeah, geez, my goodness. Home run in all four games. I think his OPS jumped like 60 or 70 points this series alone. So, the Rangers couldn't get him out, unfortunately. And, his home run gave the Royals the lead. I'll be honest with you, Gavin, when he hit the home run to make it 5-4, in my head, I just kind of thought, all right, well, yeah, the Royals have the advantage right now, but I don't think 5 runs is going to be enough. But, it obviously was.
Jared, I kind of felt like you should have grabbed your pregame umbrella and brought that out there to block the sun for old Wyatt. I know you considered it.
Yeah, that was tough. It seemed like, the sun was a little bit of a challenge for both sides. Unfortunately, on that ball that ultimately was ruled a double, the Royals were able to cash in. They cashed in on the ground ball, hit the third that Cody Freeman wasn't able to, fully make a play on. So, that was tough. The Sun stuff, to a large degree, it's bad luck. But, this time of the year, those things unfortunately make a difference. And, the Royals were able, I know that the Rangers erase the deficit that, you know, was created in part because of that. But yeah, you know, at the end of the day, could have kept I guess, two runs off the board. Now, same token again, I know I mentioned, you know, the three-run inning, that was, there was a big gift. The Royals had what looked like a tailor-made inning-ending double play ball. They weren't able to turn it, so I guess, you know, maybe it evens out to some degree. But it doesn't have to even out, right? There's no rule that you got to even things out when something goes or doesn't go your way.
Thank you, Sands. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. We got to run. So do you.
Sounds good. Yep.
And, yeah, we'll catch up with you on Friday. There he goes. He's at Jared Sandler on Twitter. A must-follow for Rangers fans everywhere. We are live at Jake's in Fort Worth, right off of Main. Love it if you could come by, hang out, and then participate in Fan Phenom coming up at 7 o'clock. And we're back with more sports here. It's the G-Bag Nation of a Fan. Here we go. Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation. We're live at Jake's in Fort Worth. And perfect timing with this show getting underway this afternoon, because there's just been another round of reporting on the Micah Parsons soap opera, and we're going to have all the details from there here live from Jake's, locally owned and operated, serving up freshly baked buns, locally sourced beef, and a bar full of Texas brands. This is the place to be tonight for a great Thirsty Thursday party. You got G-Bag Today coming up in about 30 minutes, LA Live coming up at 5:40, but let's take a look at the biggest Cowboy stories of the day as we start to head towards preseason game 3 tomorrow night, but not before we get some juicy perspective fresh off the lips of Jerry Jones here talking about Micah Parsons. We'll get there when we get back here. It's the G-Bag Nation live from Jake's in Fort Worth on the Fan. Shoot, yeah, welcome back. It's hour 4 of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3. The Fan. Got some latest in the soap opera around Micah Parsons' contract coming to you. Just a second, we're live at Jake's in Fort Worth. Come on by, get you a cold beer, get you a cheeseburger. Like, I just had some chicken strips. I think Brian had a turkey burger, actually. It's outstanding.
Yeah, third straight week for the turkey burger. I can't get away from it. But, man, the sweet potato fries.
Oh, my gosh.
This, no joke. Like,
oh, my gosh.
Dawson's like kind of a maple syrup on the sweet potato fries.
There's some kind of glaze on it, and the salt's perfect. Ooh, and the sugar's
really
perfect. And and salute to them. That's one heck of a menu item right there. Like, there's a lot of people doing sweet potato fries. These guys are doing it the best. No doubt about it. Salute to the Fort Worth Police Department. Their lieutenant just had him. I believe these are a couple of bike officers swung on by. Look at that challenge coin they gave us.
That's
took
awesome.
A picture with them. You know, so salute to you, Lieutenant. They said they'll be patrolling the area, make sure nothing gets out of hand here. They know people are going to be competing and vying, and you know, sometimes
you can get rowdy tonight.
I was looking down, and all of a sudden, like, you stood up, and then like two officers walk up. I'm thinking,
yeah,
there
he goes.
What happened?
He finally did it.
They finally caught up with him.
It's only a matter of time.
They waited until he got to Fort Worth.
Yes. Well, you know, the good news is I'm still free, and they're patrolling right now.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a great time here at Jake's. And, you know, Jake's is growing. They need great people to help. So whether it's your first job or you're ready for your dream job, apply for a gig at jakesburgersandbeer.com if you're, you know, like to work at a great spot, sports on TV, and great food. So what you have, basically, is Jerry Jones on Michael Irvin's podcast, Joseph Hoyt of the Morning News, reporting about it via Twitter. Apparently, Jerry says, when we wanted to send the details to the agent, David Mulligetta, the agent told us to stick it up our woo-hoo.
Yeah.
A-double-S.
Huh?
You know, not so that's a little bit more perspective. He continues saying that Mulligetta told him to not bother sending details because he had to negotiate still. Jones, quote, the least incremental part of the whole equation is the attorney or the agent. He's not the principal here in any way. I just think it's laughable how Jerry Jones has tried to go around the agent and then, like, kind of gaslight people into believing that the agent isn't actually a pretty damn important thing. I'm giving this guy, like, 5% of millions and millions of dollars, but it's okay to just work around him. No problem, Jer. And Jer's been trying to do this with players for decades.
Mm-hmm.
But the last thing that sort of made Hoyt's report on social is, quote, we really have 3 years to work this out. I did that with Dak. The president is handling it like Dak. In this particular case, Micah comes in and plays on this contract. And if he doesn't, it's very costly. So I think that's the most important thing. Jerry's been trying to tell us this for months.
Yeah.
That, Micah's got a contract and they're in no hurry to get this done. So the only way I could see it getting done is Micah deciding to take whatever Jerry thought they had a handshake deal on it. That's the only way this thing's getting done anytime soon.
Which is that still on the table?
Yeah, the question has to be, though, is Jerry Jones so upset with the way this has progressed that he has taken any kind of offer off the table that him and Micah even talked about? And that's a possibility right now with the way Jerry is.
That would be fascinating. Yes, I was going to say Sean and RJ had the conversation this morning. Like, has this gone into the Jimmy Johnson disloyalty thing?
Right, because if you're watching, you know, America's Team, The Gambler and His Cowboys, and I just finished it last night, and I'm excited to see where Lucius is on this as well. But, like, the one thing that is very evident, the big issue with the Jimmy and Jerry deal was he felt the Jimmy and Jerry deal, he felt that there was disloyalty on Jimmy Johnson's part. And the second that there is trust lost there, I think it's very difficult for Jerry to move past that. And if he is saying that he worked out all the terms, amount, guarantees, everything, and then they're going to send it over to the agent, and the agent then tells him to stick it up the rear. Yeah, I can kind of get why there might be some bad feelings and, like, well, what the hell on Jerry's side. Now, it is also to think that you're going to get something done without an agent in 2025 is foolish, but that's where Micah needs to take some ownership in this as well, because it takes two people to tango. Micah was clearly involved in these negotiations, and all Micah had to do was say, I'm not talking until my agent is here. Then the NFLPA could get involved, because people are asking why not. Well, Micah didn't say that. Micah was negotiating, and so he's got to take his fault in this as well.
You guys think that David Mulugeta is trying to save a little face for Micah, that his guy stepped into the ring there and got a little bloodied, and you know, now he stepped out of the ring like, okay, wait a minute, I was probably a little bit over my head there. You think Mulugeta's saying, yeah, they'll tell the Cowboys to stick it and, you know, and hey, you got to call us and all that. It's not right. I mean, both parties here, but I wonder if Mulugeta is running a little cover for Micah.
It's hard for me to say for sure because I don't know the exact nature of how that conversation ended. And if Jerry is trying to make that part up, you know, to create a little bit drama, to serve it up a little bit hotter, like, is the, you know, to what extent is that real? I know that's what he's saying publicly, but he's negotiating right now. He's working. So, you know, to me, I'm just going to take it on the surface that Micah and his agent are offended that Jerry tried to work around him.
Yeah. But see, maybe and this is... which is something else we kind of need to figure out. Did Micah circle back with Jerry? Mm. You know, if all of a sudden it turns into that Jerry and Micah talked and then Micah came back again for a little bit more, and then if that's the case, Micah is now engaging Jerry in this. And David Mulugeta is, you know, David Mulugeta is like, whoa, wait a minute, Micah, what are you doing? You know, this is not the first time that Micah's been Micah. And I mean that in a positive way. I don't mean that. Micah's his own guy. He really, really is. So if in fact we learn that there was a second, there was a day two of Micah returning and saying, hey, boss, what if we do this? Mm-hmm. What if we do this? Then now I see why Jerry is really, really upset. But, yeah, going around the way it is, I'm not washing my hands and say, oh, Jerry's, you know, right here and Micah's wrong. I'm just saying I think they're both at fault, and I think Micah is probably being a little bit more reserved now because he's like, uh-oh, I just did something. I put my agent in a bad spot. Hmm. So he's over there in the penalty box for a couple of minutes while David Mulugeta says, well, hey, if you want to talk to me, you could talk to me, but we're not reaching out to you. And Jerry's like, F you, you know, your client who works for him came in and engaged in me in a conversation. That's your problem. You know, you need to have a little bit better control over your situation over there, Mr. Mulugeta.
Yeah.
You know, and again, if we find out there was a second meeting, now I see why Jerry's mad.
But what's the premise around that second meeting? Are we just kind of shooting the stuff because we're about to
I think
Jerry's got a history of trying to, like, bind you formally into informal conversations, but, like the one the agent told about a deal in 1992.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, on the phone with the guy saying, if you don't take less, we won't draft you.
Oh, no,
you know,
they've had a history of that.
The agents 30 years ago crumpled it up and threw it back at Jerry.
Oh, no, there's... I am not saying.
I'm just saying it's hard to like have an opinion on who's in the right and who's in the wrong.
They're both
and suggest
in the wrong.
Anything
yeah,
about Micah.
No, they're both.
Because right
both
now
are.
It's a he said, she said type
There's
of deal.
There's no question.
Yeah.
But my point is, if we find out that there was a second meeting, you know, if there was a second meeting where all of a sudden Micah slept on it and came back and asked for some more concessions and Jerry, because Jerry, to me, Jerry came out and said, hey, I offered this guy $200 million guarantee. I mean, that's what he was saying. Like, he felt like that maybe he and the player had come to a number. And Micah's like, okay, well, what about this? But like I said, if he circled back the next day or a couple of days later and still was negotiating with Jerry, then both parties are in the fault here.
Yeah.
Both parties are in the fault.
I think so. You know, so then
I'm not
where's siding it go from
one
here?
Way or another. I'm that, just
yeah.
saying.
Yeah, if, both parties at fault. Yeah, I can agree with
if
that.
You,
yeah.
If you were Jerry Jones or you and I were negotiating and you're Jerry Jones and I come in and I say, hey, boss, what about my contract? And you're like, okay, let's talk about your contract. And we start throwing numbers around and ideas of years and stuff and how we might structure it. And you're like, cool, okay, we'll get back. We'll get back. And never talking about David Mulugeta here. And then all of a sudden you circle back. Hey, Jerry, I was thinking. And he's like, all right, well, what else are you thinking about? And then all of a sudden Jerry said, well, wait a minute, I'm going to counter with this. And now Mike is not sure. Is he getting worked or is this really a good deal? Mm-hmm. And now he gets the cold feet. That's the thing I want to find out. Because I think both are in fault. But if there was a second meeting, then I believe that Micah probably put his agent in a really, really bad spot.
Well, I think he's going to have to be used to being in this spot for a while because I think Jerry's telling you right now we're not going to improve our offer in any way. You know, even if that one that they agreed to is still on the table.
I think he's mad.
We're heading for franchise tag time. Yeah. And so this thing's going to be playing out for quite a while. Okay. All righty. Rangers baseball today. I mean, just a crazy game if you were listening to it or watching it. The outfielders were struggling with the sun. I thought, man, this could really have a massive impact on who wins and loses. Rangers had a chance actually because of a Kansas City throwing error in the fifth inning that tied the game up at four. But every time you feel like it's time to start getting excited about this baseball team, it almost immediately smacks you in the face, and that's what Vinny Pasquantino did to you there in the bottom half of that fifth inning. And you know, before you know it, you're leaving Kansas City losers 6-4, and they dropped 3 of 4 over the weekend. So that one was tough, especially after yesterday. They put up 6 runs, and they went out and they won one for the skipper yesterday.
Won one for the skipper.
They did, and
they battled back today twice too. Unfortunately, just didn't work
out. Yeah, you know, I think they got enough fight to them. This is a season not meant to be. We got a bunch of hockey news, actually. Mikko Rantanen's facing a near six-figure fine for missing mandatory military service for Finland. Yeah, apparently. Yeah, this is one of those. This applies to a couple of basketball players as well.
Yeah, Lauri Markkanen.
Markkanen.
Let's pass the hat.
But somehow Roope Hintz got his exempt. So if I'm Rantanen, I'm like, well, what do you mean? How does Roope get his exempt? And I'm sitting here having to pay $100,000.
I tell you, the representative, you know, for Mikko, he needs to worry about, man, what's going on here. Maybe
seriously,
he needs to like get moved to another district where his guy's a little bit better in the government.
So this amount, the penalties you find of 10 to 15 days of salary. So no matter what your job is, you know, if you're shirking this responsibility, then it's coming out of your check. The military responsibility started for him when the season was still going on. So they have
he was injured too.
Not
right?
A lot of patience. Comes to between 85,000 and 99,000 euros. Now he was not injured at the time.
He was
just playing for the Avalanche.
Okay.
His military service was scheduled for April 15th of 2024.
Okay, I see. Yeah.
USA Hockey has announced 44 players invited to the U.S. Men's Olympic orientation camp, and we got two guys, Jason Robertson and Jake Ottinger. So congrats to those boys. And Arlington-born defenseman Seth Jones of the Florida Panthers
among the
invitees as well. And just an entertainment note, I saw earlier this afternoon Super Troopers 3
is officially a thing now with production starting this week and the entire cast is returning.
How were the other two? Were they pretty good?
Yeah. I don't know if I've seen two. I saw one at least 15
still
times.
Fun. The sequel's still pretty funny.
Sequel's pretty dang good. But the original cult classic.
Absolutely.
All righty, G-Bag Nation, 105 through the Fan. We are live at Jake's in Fort Worth. Meatheads Unite. Download Jake's app for easy online ordering and loyalty club points, as well as exclusive VIP perks. Home of the hand-cut fries, 100% Texas, double beef patties, and freshly baked buns. And it's home of Fan Phenom coming up tonight at 7 o'clock. All right, we're back. We have the G-Bag of the Day coming up at 5:30, LA Live at 5:40, and we'll give you some more of the biggest headlines of the day coming up next year on the Fam. All right, welcome back, G-Bag Nation. We are live at Jake's in Fort Worth. Are you ready for a job that doesn't feel like a job and comes with free burgers? Apply now at jakesburgersandbeer.com. Fan Phenom's coming up at 7 o'clock. Join us here downtown on Main. Segment of the Nation is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. We're just over 6 minutes from the G-Bag of the Day. And LA Live's coming up at 5:40. Segment also brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or loved ones injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels for a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online at frankelfirm.com. We have a happy birthday to Cade, right?
Yes, happy Tolo birthday to Cade.
Over here.
Big
happy
time
birthday.
Tolo out here.
What a guy.
Okay. With the wife.
Yeah, his wife and his friend here at Jake's in Fort Worth. So it's a birthday celebration here tonight. The SEC is approaching an agreement to go to a 9-game season. Does this matter to all of you, Brian? Is this a big old nothing burger?
No, I think it's actually pretty good. They forever in the SEC, we found a way to play a conference schedule and then schedule directional school in between there. And so by adding that extra game, though, I think what they want to make sure is that they get the best possible schedule for seeding in the future.
One more game that matters.
Yeah, one more game that matters. Like, oh, well, look, we got a quality win against Mississippi, or we got a quality win against LSU.
And big win for the fans, dude.
Yeah.
We get more games that matter.
Well, that's I think that Greg Stanky and those guys down there are just
doing the Stanky leg.
Oh, Stanky.
Stanky. Greg Stanky.
Stanky.
I kind of got tongue-tied there for a minute. But Greg Stanky, he's trying his best to make sure that his conference is positioned in a way where they can say, well, wait, we have one more quality win.
Yeah, we got the resume.
Well,
I think that this is fair because, like, Andy Staples, who does a great job covering college football for On3 Sports, I guess there's other SEC schools that do this already. Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, and South Carolina, they already are playing 9 SEC games.
They got a lot of traditional rivals.
Yeah.
They've got rivals they don't want to give up.
And they have to whip up the necessary votes, when it comes to postseason.
Whipping them up.
Okay. Shedeur Sanders going to play Saturday. He had the oblique situation. And he said, no hard feelings with Dylan Gabriel, saying there's a difference between competitors and entertainers. The rumor in Cleveland was that Gabriel might have been taking a shot at Shedeur, being kind of a celebrity QB. But he said Dylan immediately called him and said, no, I wasn't meaning you. I was just kind of talking about how the media is trying to make stuff out of stuff. But, we're good. So,
yeah.
I don't think either of them are all that great with Joe Flacco starting, right? We got work to do, boys. A 41-year-old guy that the league thought was washed up 10 years ago just beat us out.
You know what? If I'm one of these coaches that's kind of got one foot in the parking lot, play the young guy. Play the young guy. But I like Dylan Gabriel. I didn't have a problem with him, but I had Sanders higher.
Yeah.
I like Sanders as a quarterback better. Gabriel's accurate now. I mean, he could spin it pretty good when it comes to the underneath stuff and throwing it and that, an occasional ball down the field. But Sanders, you get really more to it, more that element to his game. I mean, it's not like Lamar Jackson to me. He can run and move, but he's not the college quarterback, the read option stuff. He's a move in the pocket, stand in the pocket, throw kind of guy. But man, I mean, he's very capable. If I was the staff
there, go for the potential.
If I was the staff in Cleveland, I'm like,
who wants 10 wins with Joe Flacco being? Yeah. I think
everybody believes that their job's going to be saved with Joe Flacco.
make the playoffs, save our
job.
Cleveland,
it's a big deal. Yeah. I mean, they don't make the playoffs much.
What it save you is going with a young guy.
That's what I'm saying.
Here's our future.
You show that the young guy, you can win games with the young guy. That's why the Giants should go with Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
You know what you have in those. You sign Wilson and Jameis Winston, those guys, not even knowing you're thinking like, okay, we're going to need some guys. And then all of a sudden, whoa, wait, we get Jackson Dart. He kind of falls down the board. We're there. We get him. We draft him. Move on from guys. I mean, you got a guy you obviously want. Start him. I don't know. I would go nuts if I was these places at the Giants, and then all of a sudden we're going to get fired because we played Russell Wilson for a games, and then we're 500, and if we'd have played the other guy, we'd have probably won.
I think it's just a matter of time for both those guys, Sanders and Dart.
Then it might be too late for the coach.
That's on the
GM. And, yeah, well, you're right.
The Shador stuff's getting juicier though, because did you see Eric Dickerson?
What did he say?
He said he was on Rogan and Rodney. He was on a podcast. Now Albert Breer is talking about it as well, I think with Dan Patrick, but basically said he heard from a high-ranking source that the NFL told teams not to draft Shador Sanders to make an example out of him and Coach Prime. That's what Eric Dickerson is alleging right now.
Wow, that is juicy.
From an NFL collusion standpoint.
I think that absolutely happened.
That makes sense.
A lot of people already assumed that was kind of the thing.
Let's go to Mel Kiper for his thoughts on that.
Yeah, no kidding, dude.
What'd you guys think last night, okay? What was it, 6 months or so ago, maybe less than that, AAC fans kicked out for Fire Nico signs. Everybody jumped on the Mavs. Last night, a fan kicked out of practice for a Fire the GM sign, chanting Fire Jerry.
Yeah, that was surprising.
See that story?
That was surprising. I mean, I love to see it from just like Cowboys fans showing that type of energy. Yeah. We need more of that. There needs to be more of that. And I'm surprised that from a Cowboys standpoint, an organization that has perpetually been willing to put up with a lot of backlash. They were not here for that.
They get a little sensitive.
They will remind you that they have very thick skin. They'll remind you that.
They will.
This was not an example of that.
Yeah, not when it comes to selling or firings of their own.
I tried for 3 years to fire Jason Garrett.
Yeah, but like anybody that's in the front office.
And ultimately it hurt
not
me.
The head coach can be replaced.
Live from Jake's in Fort Worth, it's time to go into the Pimp Cup where Lucius Alexander has the G-Bag of the Day.
Microphone check, 1, 2, 1, 2. Does my mic sound nice? What it do?
Yes, sir.
All right, cool. Hey, you wouldn't be shocked if the NFL did what they let.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And Eric Dickerson is a legend happened, right?
Nobody
would be shocked.
Especially with all the collusion that's already been proven to be true.
Come on, Phil.
Yeah, after the Lamar Jackson stuff. Oh, well, nobody else or Deshaun Watson don't be giving guaranteed contracts anymore. So 100%.
Shoot, how they ran Kaepernick out the business. Let me further know. All right, this is G-Bag of the Day. We do it every weekday on the Fan at 5:30. It's presented by Berkey's Plumbing, AC, and Electrical. My name is Lucius Alexander. I go by L.A. If you see anything we should be playing, hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media. Yeah! Fort Worth, what it do? Lucius Alexander on Facebook. You could follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. I believe this is day number 3 for this champion audio. Am I correct here?
Yes.
Thank you, bro.
You're welcome.
No, I was nodding my head. I'm sorry. I'm doing bad radio.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know either.
That's weed.
I usually keep up with it, but when the schedule gets changed, so does my mind, bro. So does my mind. All right, this is from the RJ and Choppy Show. Bobby Belt gave Scott Braun a wag of the finger.
Yesterday, for him to come on Twitter and go, one of our producers who lives in the area sent me a clip from your show the other day. Thanks for that. Because you look at his picture. That's how he talks. He goes, send me a clip the other day. Thanks
what
for the shout out. It's
about,
an honor.
Bill?
Okay, so what are you like? Are you trying to like tell him like, oh, I was listening. So just know that I'm listening to anything you say. And I told him, I replied. I said, if I'd known you were listening, I would have said more. So I'll go ahead and say it now. You look like Bobby. Dillard's cologne samples and Twitter bio pronouns, dude. You are a guy who puts Emmy winner in his LinkedIn job title and edits his own Wikipedia page. And I only say that because I know that's exactly what you do. You edit your own Wikipedia page and you have 4-time Emmy winner in your stupid bio. Now I know you couldn't stay in the broadcast industry on your own since you got fired from MLB Network and NHL Network. You're the 2-time fired. So it's easier for you to think it must be because you're not a shock jock, that that's why you couldn't stick in the industry on your own. But you don't have a job because you're not good enough. So, and I called around about you yesterday. I got a lot of friends in media, too. 100% did. 100% did. And there were a lot of people who wanted to talk about you. Okay, so I'll holster it for now because I know you're the exact type of person who's going to go, by the way, it sounds, when somebody screen records that S for you again today, and so I'll have it for you with your little passive-aggressive ego because it won't allow you to shut up. Just know, people in the industry talk about you, and I'm sure you know what your reputation is. So take that dorky little chain off of your Twitter bio picture and like grow up and be an adult and do something for yourself instead of like leeching off of AJ Pierzynski.
I didn't see this.
Tear him up, man.
Oh, my
God. I didn't see that one coming.
That would win Fan Phenom tonight, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Sure, they'd kill him with the fire.
Let's go.
I seen the photo he was finally talking about. Mm-hmm. Now I see, when he says Dillard's cologne, I get it.
You can smell it from the picture.
Bro, oh, my God. Bobby, stop. Please, Bobby, don't hurt him. All right, let's go to WNBA last night. Dallas Wings, LA Sparks. Your girl Plum, Kelsey Plum, was not a fan of how Paige Beckers was putting up them buckets on them. Putting up buckets on them.
I know this is a playoff push. 9-game season for you guys. How do you turn the page and get ready for the next one?
Yeah, we got to play some f***ing defense.
Oh, yeah.
Woo! Thank you, KP.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Pick.
Everybody.
Thank you, Kelsey.
Everybody just thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Kelsey.
Thank you and thank you again.
Really appreciate that.
Oh, my Lord.
Our Hager Slacks big play award. Kelsey.
What was her shooting percentage? Paige Beckers is like in the 80s or something like that?
I think it was 17 of 21.
Historic.
Great.
First 40 bomb at 80% plus in league history.
Jeez.
Only 6 free throws.
Mm.
Pretty impressive.
It's getting worked.
All right. Let's see here. What we got? Chicago Cubs broadcasters. You guys familiar with those guys?
Ron something?
Is it still Pat Hughes?
Swanson?
Ron Swanson.
John Bog?
No.
Bogue?
Oh, no.
Right.
Don't know him.
Don't know him. Okay. Are you familiar with the legendary Notre Dame basketball coach, Digger Phelps?
Digger Phelps.
Absolutely.
Yep. Richard Digger Phelps.
Richard Digger Phelps. I wish we would use Richard a little bit more when Digger's name.
Yeah, for real, man.
Richard Digger Phelps.
Digger Phelps.
That's a stay away.
Yeah. He was out there. I think he threw the first pitch at the Chicago Cubs game, and he also sang the, I believe so. Yeah, yeah. Okay. And he was singing the seventh inning stretch song.
Right, right.
Take us on
now to the ball game.
And then when he got finished, the broadcasters had to go to break. And they gave a shout out to Digger.
Our seventh inning stretch brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you, Digger.
That's crazy.
Did he used to do the highlight with the tie?
Is that
him on ESPN?
Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. We should probably
get rid of the carries doing Chicago. It's not like Chip Carry there.
You got to be very confident in your ability to say words right.
And that is a new campaign.
Our seventh inning stretch brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for you, Digger.
Stretching out to all demographics
for
out
you.
There.
Yeah, he held that you.
God. Yep. Jeez, bro.
Very aggressive.
Yeah, I had to do some research when I first heard it. I was like, wait, what? Why'd he say it so happily? Like, he was so happy to say it. He said it with so much energy, bro.
For you, Digger.
Oh. John
he said it with all his teeth.
But oh, it's Boog. Boog Shiambi.
Yeah, it's John Shiambi and Jim DeShays. I had to look this
Jim DeShays?
Jim DeShays is the game analyst, and John Shiambi is the primary play-by-play announcer.
John, need to chill out, bro. You need to chill, John.
This Bud's for you, Digger.
You gotta chill, John.
You put the E on the ER on there and everything.
Reckless,
very
dog.
Excited.
I ain't show nothing but teeth when he said it. My man was, yeah, too excited. All right, how about this? And yesterday's a church day. I pray you got your blessing. I've been praying a whole lot lately. I tell you what. What? Gotta stay in prayer, man. Pray a warrior.
For peace in your life.
All of that. Healing, everything.
Yeah.
We have a pastor right here that fired a musician because the pastor wanted to get into the service, but my man on the keys, he wanted to get into the praise break. You know, he was watching the audience, and the audience wanted to do some praising. They want to hear some more music. Pastor wanted to get into preaching, so the preacher fired the fool.
Amen. We gonna start right now. But Hood, we're going to start right now. We're going to start right now, Hood, because the pastor says stop. 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 You want to find me? After the day, your services are no longer needed. Your services are no longer needed.
Got fired at church.
Your services are no longer needed, bro.
That was a very spirited musician guy.
Yeah, he was just reading the audience. We want to hear that praise. Yeah. Hit them drums. Pock 'em, pock 'em, pock 'em, pock 'em, pock 'em, pock 'em. We want to hear that.
Yeah.
All right, man, that's it.
Okay, we got Bobby Belt, our two-time champ, looking for three. We got Kelsey Plum after Paige Beckers hit him for 44. You got the Cubs announcers with a beer sponsor read or your church blessings. I'm going to go with Kelsey Plum myself here tonight, Chief. How about you?
I'm going to rock with the champion.
Okay, Lucius?
Oh, shoot. Hold on, man.
This is a shoot one.
I got caught up. I'm going with Digger Phelps, bro.
We are. We're still tied at one, Woolchuck.
I'm going to go with Bobby.
Brian.
Bobby!
Digger Phelps.
By a score of 2-2, we have a tie. Jump onto at G-Bag Nation. We'll create an Insta poll. You can vote here, and we'll announce it by the time we get to the end of LA Live. But go to at G-Bag Nation on Twitter, and you'll be able to vote. You will decide who is the champ between our two finalists. Lucius, what do we have coming up next?
It's a Thirsty Thursday ladies night. Let's have a little fun, ladies. Stick around and get down next.
Thank you, Lucius. We're live at Jake's in Fort Worth. No Rangers game tonight. They did lose earlier, dropped 3-4 there in Kansas City, but we're going all the way till 7 o'clock, then the Fan After Dark. And Fan Phenom's coming up at 7 o'clock. If you want to try out to be the next fan host, you need to join us here. Woolchuck's going to be hosting you and interviewing you, talking sports with you, coming up starting at 7 o'clock here, live and in person. You can still vote for the G-Bag of the Day at G-Bag Nation. Bobby Belt leads the Cubs Digger Phelps read there, and here's Lucius with some LA Live.
All right. It's a Thirsty Thursday, Ladies Night edition of LA Live. Let's get into it after the ladies' man himself, Frick James.
All right, you swear. It's time you smoke. A fire up this funk and let's have a toast. It'll make you dance some of everything.
One of my next-door neighbors is a 90-year-old man suffering from Alzheimer's. And every single morning at 9 a.m., he knocks on my door and he asks me if I have seen his wife. Which means that every single morning at 9 a.m., I have to explain to a 90-year-old man suffering from Alzheimer's that his wife has been dead for quite some time. Now, I have thought about moving. I have thought about just not answering my door in the morning. But to be honest, it's worth it just to see the smile on his face.
Oh,
yeah, for some reason that joke's a crowd pleaser.
Hey, 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 hey. Hey, hey, hey. This is LA Live for Thursday, August 21st, 2025. It is a Thirsty Thursday, Ladies Night Edition of LA Live. Welcome into the Tolo, ladies.
Hey.
Hey, you are appreciated.
Oh, you gotta give him that hawk to him.
Yeah, you are appreciated, lady. What else you got for y'all? Recognize this? Nah, but I hear they watch more than we do, actually. I really heard that.
It's crazy, man. They're putting up numbers.
Yeah, I really heard.
Freaks.
Man, they are
categories?
Stretching Kikuchi tonight.
Right.
Maybe a little different.
Just a little bit. Yeah, shout out to the Tolo ladies, man. You are appreciated. This is LA Live. LA Live is sponsored by Greystone Roofing and Construction. That is greystone-roofing.com. Hold up.
Think a man should ever tell a female how to dress?
What I've seen here tonight? Hell yeah. Hell no! Because, would you wear that to church?
I do. I go to church in my living room. That and I wear what I want. But in a brick and mortar? Hell no. Hell no. So, yeah, you do tell a woman what she needs to be wearing when she leaves the house.
Uh-oh.
Just say it.
What?
Ain't no man telling me what to put on and I'm married.
No.
Hell no.
LA Live 105.3 The Fan, Ladies Night. All right, confess right here, fellas. Be honest. Have you ever catcalled a woman?
What is a catcall?
Nah. Where you just kind of drive by.
I just can't say, whistle holler, that. Well.
Yeah, you're like honking at her and she's like jogging. Maybe she's walking by and you're posted up somewhere. Hey. That type of thing. Trying to get their attention.
No, I've never really done that,
but I have been around some fellas. We might go hit the mall or something like that, post up around the food corner area.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some girl with some white boots on might walk by. You call her, hey, white boots. Let me holler at you, white boots.
Love the boots.
I was always catcalling the ones that had the free samples there.
Eric and I'd be catcalling the hell out of those chicks. Absolutely.
What is that? That bourbon chicken?
The bourbon chicken.
God.
it doesn't taste as good after you buy it. But it is so damn good
off
when you get the free sample.
Off a toothpick, it's the best thing. 10 out of 10.
Yeah, it's crazy when you go get that whole $12 thing.
Yeah.
It's like, man, it just didn't hit like it did on that toothpick.
It's true.
They put a little MSG on there for us. So nobody's involved with catcalling. You guys are above that, which you should be because it's...
Not that kind of confidence.
It's against the law, bro. You know it's against the law, right?
I did not know that.
It's against the law if you get caught catcalling, Mr. Dawson.
Well, it is rude.
Really?
Yeah.
So it could just be like trying to get her attention?
You could be trying to get her attention, and she takes it as harassment. You're catcalling her.
Yeah.
You got to deal with something.
I'm more with Brian on this one. I'm just wondering from my own curiosity, like, where is that line? You know, what's the difference between, like, hollering at a chick and catcalling her?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. Well, check this out. Maybe this is coming to the States, but British officers pose as joggers to catch street harassers. Catcalling cops.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, they deployed plainclothes officers posing as joggers through areas identified as harassment hotspots. What is that? First of all, construction sites, right? What is a harassment hotspot?
Yeah. I agree. I've always thought that it's the construction sites.
What an honor though to be one of those officers that gets called to be the the one that's getting hollered at, like, hey, we around the office feel like you're hot enough.
Yeah.
Go out there and do the Lord's work.
Yeah, going out there. You get that dumpster.
Now, was that a cat calling? She might be like, well, you're my first perp.
Yeah.
Officer Jones, walk with me.
James Bond is the only, like, British, like, policeman that's, like, in shape, right?
Yeah, for the most part.
I mean, for the most part, yeah.
You don't. There's
Bobbies.
No other,
Bobbies.
The British I'm just telling you, man, they show a lot of those dudes wearing the day glow jackets. Look like me out there, big, maybe triple extra large jacket at the soccer match.
Yeah.
A lot of starches. They've got the hats. Yeah, you know, the hat's good looking. But that jacket looks like a tarp out there at Wrigley Field. You know what we're talking about? Like the rain tarp.
Look like they could play first base.
I'm just telling you, there's some linebacker-like dudes. So if you're like a jogger guy, show up.
Hey, you say that, but in the comments of this story – mm-hmm. There were some Americans. I'll tell you what, bro. We are crazy on the internet. They showed the two girls that were, you know, they were using to catch these harassers. And they were like,
summer teeth.
In England, there may be eights, but over here, they're twos.
Oh, no.
I'm not saying that. That's what the comments said. Yeah, the goal is to catch individuals catcalling targeted women for unwanted comments, gestures, and behaviors. The operation led to 18 arrests.
Jeez, damn.
You got arrested for catcalling, bro. Like honking your horn. That is so embarrassing. Yep. If you got a girlfriend, a wife, even just a regular old family like your mom, you live with your mom, you're embarrassed.
Yeah, just some couth about you.
Second only to the rest stop arrest. You know what I'm saying?
The shoots happen, Joy.
The rest stop arrest.
I don't think there's any coming back from that.
Oh,
one.
No.
The rest stop arrest is crazy.
At a gas station.
The old lot lizard.
Oh, no.
They had those ladies, their truck drivers on TikTok. Their stories are, man. That's some scary stuff those ladies got.
Man, that's funny, Dawson.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, 18 people, bro, arrested. So they got to tell their family, I got caught catcalling a cop dressed up as a decoy.
Jeez, where have you been?
Yeah. Hey, not everyone supports this operation. There's a free speech union. They call it a bizarre social psychology experiment.
Yeah.
Yep. They said it's messing up the free speech thing.
Agreed. I mean, so if you're like a lady walking by yourself through a busy area, I think it's just terrifying. You know what I'm saying? You shouldn't be allowed to. Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, I'm with you on that one, bro. I'm 100 with you on that one.
Like, I don't even want my daughter getting, she's 14. She wants to get her learner's permit here in the next year or so. I don't want her going to the gas station to even fill up. You know what I'm saying? Because that's like, I think that's one of those hot spots where dudes are creepy, you know?
The grocery store, bro. The grocery store. My grocery store. Around the grocery store. She dresses down purposely. And I be telling her, no, they like that, baby. That is usually a man.
Like the homely
look. They like that.
Anything's a kink.
Yeah.
There were sexuality slurs.
Burger King mom. You guys remember Burger King mom at all?
No.
South Carolina mother of three, Nakia Hamilton, was filmed working a Burger King solo for 12 hours straight.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Shout out to her.
Yeah, she went hella viral and whatnot. She has been fired from her job.
Why?
Because she was exposing the bad staffing. BK?
Okay, I might think that maybe her manager maybe fired her because I just got showed up.
You exposed me.
Yeah, I just got showed up.
He tattled on me to the world.
Yeah, that's how Jerry Jones would do it.
Well, who else is going to run the store?
Yeah, but she went hella viral. She's been fired, calling out too much and showing up late. She says she has to take care of her kids. She's got three kids. Anyway, she started a GoFundMe, so don't feel bad for her. She's almost up to $100,000 already.
Okay, good for her.
There we go.
100K!
Almost good work if it. You can get it.
Yeah.
Oh, well. It's pretty impressive, you know, doing everything. I guess you don't have to wash dishes at BK.
She said she did every single thing, even like the little close down steps you have to do, as well as, you know, watching the fries, watching the onion rings, flipping the burgers, getting the chicken, you know, working the register, working the drive through. She was killing it. I seen it before over in Las Colinas. I didn't see it personally, but I seen it on Dallas, Texas TV. Girl's working at McDonald's by herself. Killing it.
Killing it.
All right, before I get out of here, you fellas familiar with Maury Povich?
Yes.
Okay.
I think he's married to Connie Chung.
I'm so glad you said that. So he has a podcast, and he has his wife, Connie Chung, as a guest.
Okay.
And he put her business all the way out there, but I can't tell if this is cuck energy or if he's trying to shame her.
You became a big star.
Well, no. I mean, whatever.
And you kind of messed around with stars.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I didn't mess around with stars.
Yeah, I think you can name a few.
No, I'm not. No, I did not. I did not mess around with them. I knew them. You messed around. It's in the book.
Yeah, it is. But
Warren Beatty. You know what my sister said about Warren Beatty?
Yes, he
every woman who came to California had to go through him. It was like an immigration system.
Oh,
goodness gracious.
Warren Beatty was out here slaying them.
Very weird. He was.
That might be a little jealous about your past boyfriend energy.
So I'll bring it up on my pod to shame you?
She's trying to sell this book?
Yeah.
Sell
him, honey.
Sex does sell, right?
Yeah. I mean, maybe she's this is way more famous
we're trying to
than
sell
him.
The book.
You reported on Hollywood.
Yeah.
All those guys have been in your pants.
They're all dirty as hell. Why don't you rent them
out? Yeah.
They're catcalling you, aren't they? I heard you.
Just give me a minute. I'm going to the bathroom.
You are not the mother.
Yeah, you are not the mother.
No. Nobody would claim a W like you as their mother.
Yeah, I used to watch that.
It's in the book.
Jenny Jones. Jenny Jones.
Yes. Oh, yes, dude. It was so smutty.
Yeah. See, I was a nerd in high school.
Yes.
Now
yes.
I have muscles in a Trans Am. Yes. You can kiss my behind.
From geek to freak.
Yeah. Always. Always. All right. My name is Lucius Alexander. I'll be black tomorrow. Lord willing, the creek don't rise. That is my time. I'm out of here, y'all. Be safe.
There he goes. LA Live every night, 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. We're at Jake's. Locally owned and operated, serving up freshly baked buns, locally sourced beef in a bar full of Texas brands. It's not just about burgers. Although they crush it, Jake's new menu has something for everyone. And your chance to be the next fan host is coming up at 7 o'clock here live on the scene with Wolchuk. What are we doing next, Zach? Hour 5 G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at Jake's in Fort Worth, the venue for tonight's Fan Phenom. The dining room populating a little bit more with a fan host hopefuls, and boss man Spittle's going to be here. You want to bring the heat here this evening, and that's something that we'd love to see the Texas Rangers do. As time is running out, 3 games below .500 they are, and heading to St. Louis for a weekend of baseball. Hopefully they do a little bit better. Here's Wolchuk with some more baseball.
All righty, so Chris Martin, we got some good news there. He is making progress towards a return. He has not pitched since July 21st. He had that left calf strain. So he took fielding practice yesterday. No issues pushing off the leg. He's expected to throw light bullpen. He threw that earlier today. Live batting practice session there on Saturday. And if all of that clears, then he'll be headed to Round Rock, I assume, for his rehab. And that bullpen, man, I mean, they are, you're starting to see the fatigue a little bit. I thought Jacob Latz was brilliant last night, stepping up. But today, I mean, it was unfortunate for Webb, who gets recalled off of the IL, and then boom, you know, he had a tough outing today. So, Rangers bullpen hoping to get some reinforcements. And we just finished, we mentioned this a month ago, Dallas Morning News put out the bracket. Best Rangers regular season moment of all time, and the winner of the bracket, knocking off Kenny Rogers' perfect game in the final, was the 2 seed. The Rangers clinching their first AL West title in 1996. That ended up beating out the number one overall seed, which was the Kenny Rogers' perfect game. So pretty incredible. Rangers won in that, and very emotional. And I get it. Like, anytime, first time you're going to the postseason, yeah, that's going to be up there. I mean, for me, Game 2 of the 2010 ALCS, I got to be there, and it was their first ever championship series win. They beat the Yankees to even up the series at 1, obviously en route to their first ever American League pennant. So, I mean, selfishly, that's probably my favorite Rangers regular season memory, Colby Lewis getting the win that day. But I can understand the 1996 AL West pennant.
Yeah, you know, that was before I got here, before I was a Ranger fan covering the team. So, you know, for me, I would say you want to talk about an incredible moment, Cliff Lee's first game. Even though he did not get the win, I think it was against the Orioles right before the All-Star break. And I went to the, you know, old ballpark that night, and the buzz was just intense, you know, because they've been playing well, but once they got Cliff Lee, it really felt like it, and that was a special night.
It was.
Josh Hamilton, 4 home run game, you know, some that maybe didn't mean that much in the context of contending. But, yeah, that must have been amazing in 96 to clinch a playoff spot for the first time. I could see how that could win.
Real actual reporting here, Clarence Hill saying that David Mulugeta tells him that he did not tell Jerry Jones to stick it up as you know what.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure he was.
Said that didn't happen.
He might have been being a bit hyperbolic with the way he painted that picture.
A little paraphrasing from Jer Bear.
Yeah.
Wasn't quite how it went, but that was that's an amazing tweet right there. Shout out to the LLS, just getting it done at a very high level.
Well, Jerry knew it was getting boring, so it was time to, you know, juice it
just
a little bit.
A little bit. Spice it up.
He's telling you his game plan.
Man, and you know, one of my, so I finished last night with the Netflix docuseries, and it is really good. I kind of wonder, is Jerry about to put himself in the Ring of Honor?
What makes you say that?
I just got that vibe. Like, it ends with him and Jimmy, and, like, it was, way over, long overdue, and he puts Jimmy into the Ring of Honor, and you know he's talking about what it means, and he was left with that responsibility, and you know all the players that should be, and obviously Jerry, he should be. I mean, he for 30 years owning the team, I get it. I mean, he won 3 Super Bowls, but it did in some way, like, I don't think that he doesn't want to not get in while he's still here and alive. And there was a little bit of talk, like, Steven's getting choked up, talking about, like, well, what's the succession plan? And he doesn't even want to go there. He just wants to enjoy the time with his dad while he still has it. And I understand that. I asked him.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From last year, we were at Buffalo Wild Wings. Like, do you envision yourself also being a general manager? And he gave a similar answer, but I just kind of thought that maybe this is what we're about to get is – Jerry's going to be going into the ring, and it is a little bit weird when you're putting yourself in, but I think he wants to be here for that.
Arthur Blank did it, didn't he?
He did.
I don't think I'd want to put myself in, but I think Jerry's a different cat when it comes to that. Be really interesting to see how he handles it, and it would not surprise me at all, but I think what you said there is what I'm thinking, is that it would just be kind of weird and self-serving, and I don't know if, you know, that would be the best way to do it. I think it'd be a great way to remember him, you know, well into the future.
Trade, you know, proposals. Go for it.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, though, if they know he's going to go in, does he have to have it now? I think the thing I would worry about is all of a sudden you schedule this thing for, like, a November day. You know, you put, like, we're going to do this like a November game. And say the team's not good.
Yeah.
That right there is a big
That's
kick
a great point. Like, let him go win the Super Bowl again. Do it the year after that.
To me, if I knew my – and it might – you're
when
right.
When the hell's that happening?
No, 30 years. You're right. Know? But I just wonder if it's one of those things that if your team – it's very reminiscent of the whole Emmitt Smith breaking the rushing record thing. And it was – we lost the Seahawks. We were a terrible team. That should have been something great. That should have been, like, historic, and it was historic. But how it all went down, it's kind of like, we suck.
Yeah, you wish and, that could have been.
And we had a terrible offensive line, and, you know, he had to fight for every yard he got. And it's just, when it happened, it was so, all right, great, it's over, you know. But because we were so bad.
Yeah.
And I wonder if, in fact, that he might be worried a little bit. If you get into November and the team is not doing well, and then he's standing up there, you know, putting on the Navy jacket and waving to everybody, and players, Michael and Troy, and everybody's there, you know. And
I get what you're saying. How long do you have to wait? Nothing's promised to us, right?
It doesn't – for him, it doesn't matter because he knows he's going to go in one way or another.
Yeah, but he wants to be there and experience that.
I think the most important thing he was put in was the Hall of Fame. That he experienced. I think the Ring of Honor stuff is nice, but I don't...
Seemed like a pretty big deal to him, just hearing him talk about it.
It's a big thing, but you also got to know that when you're standing on that field and your team could potentially be 3-10...
Yeah, I just, like, even looking back at the Emmitt thing, like, I was well aware they stunk, but we were awful. We're not thinking about the game.
We're not thinking about that Seattle game. That should have been one of the great moments in Cowboy history, and it was a footnote to a team that was just god-awful.
The team was really bad. It still is one of the great moments in Cowboys history, though.
But the vibes would be off right now. Like, you can't do it right now. You're talking about maybe at some point in the next 5 years. I could see that when the team's, you know, winning more and the fans aren't mad about a player holdout.
But I think it's just a matter of time.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were saying maybe that he's going to announce that
in November. No, not like today. You let this play out. But, I mean, as early as next season,
I could see it.
I would make sure that my team's not a bag of ass.
I don't know. There's no way to guarantee that.
Well, he can probably have a better feeling that he's down all these cornerbacks, and he's got his best guy maybe signed up to play the games, and I just kind of feel like that it would be
a little less off-season drama.
What year did Emmitt do that?
2002.
Oh two.
Yeah, it was his last year with the team.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And it was 21-14 Seattle won that. That was also the Darren Woodson biggest hit I've ever seen in my life. Darryl Jackson. Gosh. Holy crap, that was insane. Bleacher Report has put out trade proposals for every team, and some of these involve our Dallas Cowboys. One of which would be the Baltimore Ravens calling up about Brock Hoffman. Baltimore says, hey, we'll give you a seventh for Brock Hoffman. Now, I'm saying absolutely not.
Me too.
I think Brock Hoffman is worth more than a seven. I think he could be a borderline starter.
Who's this coming from?
Bleacher Report.
Okay.
But you are talking about an undrafted free agent. He lost the starting job for you. I think oftentimes us as fans probably don't know like the true value for certain players. So maybe that is Hoffman's value, but I would say I'd rather keep him on my team than take a seventh-round pick.
100%, dude. There's no way. If they want to do like a player swap with one of their defensive tackles after seeing them in the preseason, we know that they have quite the laundry list of guys there on the defensive line. If you want to do a player swap there, fine. But I don't think a seventh-round pick is going to help me more than Brock Hoffman is.
We also had people calling up possibly Miles Sanders. Saw that on CBS Sports today. There are several teams that are hunting running backs right now. And maybe if the Cowboys are moving on from Miles Sanders, I didn't even think this was a possibility, but could you end up trading Miles Sanders for, say, a late day three pick as well? You got Cleveland, Kansas City, and New Orleans, all according to The Athletic, that are hunting runners. Obviously, those teams probably in the mix on Brian Robinson Jr. as well. But Antonio Gibson of the Patriots was listed, and so was Miles Sanders of your Dallas Cowboys, along with Travis Etienne of the Jags, as possible running backs the teams could inquire about.
I would take a six-round pick for him.
I'd take the seven for him. He's not on my roster anyway.
Don't get me wrong. I would do the seventh as well.
Yeah. Now, this was also a weird one because I haven't followed his career as much, but if you need a cornerback, the Broncos calling you and saying, hey, we'll give you Riley Moss, because they did just draft Jahdae Barron. And Riley Moss started last year for them opposite PS2 for a sixth-round pick. We'll give you Riley Moss. Thought that was interesting. I'd have to go and look a little bit more at how he is in Denver. But if you want another guy that's been a starting corner in the NFL, that's a name that possibly you could get for a day three selection per Bleacher Report. And then the Cowboys trade proposal, it is Micah Parsons. Now, I don't want to do this because I don't want to be trading him to the Green Bay Packers. But this trade would be Micah to Green Bay for Rashawn Gary, who is definitely better than Lucas Van Ness. Rashawn Gary is a pretty damn good player.
Michigan guy, right?
Yeah.
Yes, Michigan guy.
Maybe get the Michigan guy right there.
But he's a Michigan guy that we know has been good in the NFL.
Yeah, exactly.
2026 first and third, and a 2027 second and fourth. One, that's not enough for me. I still want three ones, especially if I'm trading him to the Packers. But I don't want to trade him to Green Bay anyway. But that was the Cowboys trade proposal, courtesy of Bleacher Report. But I am interested in some of these other teams calling about Jalen Tolbert, who possibly could be on the market, and teams need a wide receiver. You just had the Chiefs trading Sky Moore away to San Francisco, and San Francisco is so depleted right now at wide receiver. Just had DeMarcus Robinson get a suspension. The health right now of some of their guys is very up in the air. They don't think Brandon Ayuk's going to be back until week six. So, hey, for a San Francisco team, I want to stink. That's great news, but there are teams that are looking for receivers and runners. Maybe the Cowboys get into the mix there, trading some of their guys.
I just, you know, keep coming back to the idea of what Stephen Jones told you guys, or told Brian and Oxnard. I forget which one it was, but the idea we got to do something different.
Yeah.
You know, and if you want to continue to manage the cap the way that you are, I think the something different could easily be, when we're not that great, how about we look to trade players for future picks? And when we're really, really good, we trade future picks for players. And that way we can continue to manage the cap, but you could ride the talent wave a little bit more and try to jump in there with extra guys on rookie contracts. I think that's a path to the Super Bowl. Like, if Stephen Jones is genuinely wearing it, oh, my goodness, everywhere I go, people are reminding me it's 30 years, but we got to manage the cap like this. There's no way we're buckling. Okay, there's other ways to get it done where you can manage the cap very conservatively, but you got to, you know, take bigger swings in some other way. And I think it's, you know, trading right now. Will Micah Parsons still be in his prime when you do have a roster good enough to contend? You don't know. You know, to me, it looks like minimum two good drafts, and maybe you got one out of the way here. We'll see. It looks like Ezra Raku's pretty good, and we'll see with Booker and Revel. But if you get those three, then next year, could you find running back, defensive tackle, and a beast of a young linebacker? And now I can maybe start to see it a little bit if you get healthy at corner. But that's assuming a lot. That's like answers on five good young players that you got to get to. So until you see that coming into focus, let's be flexible and let's, you know, borrow some of that wisdom from the Rams. You don't got to go all in and say bleep them picks, but I think you got to dabble a little bit in this world, and you know, maybe we'll be heading there as this continues to play out. Fascinating developments today on Micah Parsons, Jerry Jones on the Michael Irvin press conference or the Michael Irvin podcast. And we talked about that in the 5 o'clock hour. What's coming up next, Chief?
Football and crash outs. That's what America does.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. We're live. Jake's in Fort Worth. Fan Phenoms coming up at 7 o'clock. Jake's isn't just in the neighborhood. They're a huge part of it, showing up for the causes close to your heart. And salute to Jake's for sponsoring our Fan Phenom event. We'll be at Jake's once a week here for the foreseeable future as we identify the next great fan host. It's time for a sports hodgepodge with the Chief. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Woo! Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas, Eric.
We have some all-time crash outs to address here in just a moment, but we start in the world of football. The No Fun League strikes again. It looks like the NFL says sportsmanship is a point of emphasis for NFL officials this season. We're going to get a lot more unsportsmanlike penalties.
Yeah.
The quote, there's no place in the game to be standing over your opponent. There's no place in the game to have violent gestures. That's not the game of football.
But it's a violent game, Eric.
It is.
So what they're doing on the field is findable and is flaggable?
Yeah, I guess the whole sport, every play should result in a flag,
right?
Because it's unsportsmanlike to tackle another human being.
I mean, that's violence.
I mean, Ashton Jeanty should be getting a flag on every single play with the way that he's demonstrating his skill set, just truck sticking dudes. That's just not fair.
It's not fair. We can't be stiff arming. We can't be running over a mofo's face over and over again. That is going to be a personal foul.
I mean, running angry.
Dude.
Hitting people.
What
Brian?
A hypocrisy this the National violent. Football League is. Unbelievable.
It is true, though, because when you think about like the disgusting act years and years and years ago in the NBA when a guy like Allen Iverson stepped over Tyronn Lue, and we were all just so disgusted by that.
So bad.
And the only way we talk about it now is just because we can't believe the NBA tolerated it.
No, it's vulgar as hell.
It was a bygone era, thankfully.
Really, really going to tick me off when a guy makes a great play, gets up a little bit excited. Excuse him for being excited.
No.
All he does is just dedicate his life to making plays on the football field at the height of the sport where it's extremely difficult to do. He's going to get a little bit too excited. Is that what's going to happen? And then, boom, you're going to dock me 15 yards?
Yep.
You don't dock me 15 yards for getting excited.
You need to maintain your composure, all right? You're a professional. Act like it. Act like you've been there before.
Unbelievable.
We're going to love it, though, when it happens for the Cowboys, though. And, like, somebody pops up, and it's a – they throw that screen out in the flat.
You know what's going to happen? It's going to be the one game-winning George Pickens touchdown.
Pickens.
He's going to end up like, hold my knee, and then the next thing you know, he's going to get flagged.
Does he do the hold your knee thing?
Yeah, I think I could see him doing
it. He demonstrated that.
Just throwing that one out there.
It's going to be one of those plays that's going to be called – seriously, it's going to be a flat pass for -5. And they're going to cheer, and we're all going to be like, yeah, get him!
Get him. He can't do that.
That was disgusting what he just did.
Unsportsmanlike conduct, number 55, 15-yard penalty, first down, you know. We're going to love that. So
yeah, we're doing a real live radio show right now. This is on the air, sir.
Pretty amazing stuff
it's pretty
here.
Crazy.
It is amazing.
Shout out to Browns for being glass half full on this, though. Lucius Alexander.
Hey, if you watch that Jerry Jones documentary, bro, and they introducing Jimmy Johnson and Michael Irvin, and they showed that Miami squad.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there was cats getting knocked out on the field, and the Miami dudes were just doing hump dances as these fools was on the ground. Like,
got him.
Crazy.
We got him.
That's what they did?
They were straight hump dances, bro.
And they weren't just doing the three pump stuff. It was four, five, six, seven, eight, nine double-digit pumps at one point, I counted.
We don't know if the guy on the ground's got a concussion, a tibia broken, or anything. We're just doing hump dances. Got you.
Right.
That entire team leaves in handcuffs if they're playing in the NFL these days. I mean, that's basically what the NFL is talking about right now.
Yeah,
it's disgusting what the NFL is doing.
There's a crackdown on humping, and there's a crackdown on – I think players have now officially lost their fight with the gun gestures.
Yeah, okay, so I did get an update on this. So we talk about, like, the arrow thing. Like, you pull an arrow out of your back.
You can still do an arrow.
Bang. Okay, so here's the deal. You can't aim it at anybody. If they're doing what they call a Cupid arrow, where maybe you're sending it off into the heavens a little bit at a touchdown celebration.
That's Cupid.
That's
right?
Fine. So it's all about the launch angle, okay?
The archer, right? Yeah.
Archer. Good to know.
We're bringing the launch angle into the NFL as it pertains to the arrow celebrations, okay?
This is too much to keep up with.
Aim that puppy down. That's a flag.
So can I go sniper into the air?
See, I don't know if you can go. I don't know if you
can
snipe.
I think guns are off limits. Ja Morant just totally crushed that for everybody.
Well, you had a couple. I'll tell you what. Crazy. The college football, I can't remember the NFL, but I remember last year specifically. The freaking Gamecocks, and they got edge rushers galore, defensive
Dylan
line.
Stewart. Remember the name Dylan Stewart, ladies
okay,
and gentlemen.
I'm bookmarking that name right now. There was a Gamecock.
He's really not.
There was a Gamecock who
My guy will.
He sacks the quarterback, and then he gets up as if he has like a AR-15 of sorts, and then just aims it at the quarterback who just got hammered onto the ground. And he's like shaking his body, you know. And so
gyrating.
That's teaching tape for what not to do. But I'm sure we're going to be pretty ticked off on a Cowboys Monday with a couple of ridiculous unsportsmanlikes.
Unless it's for us.
Yeah, but
somebody does it against us and then it's first down.
Yeah, but when it happens to us, it's going to allow us to lose like 28-21 instead of 28-14.
Over there.
You know what I mean?
Pipe down.
Okay, congratulations. Seriously, this is exciting.
Let's welcome Jerry Jones to the Ring of Honor.
Yeah,
that's going to happen no matter what.
We go to halftime and the Cowboys are down 34-10. But stick around for the Jerry Ring of Honor celebration.
Let's go to the field and Christy Scales. Christy, go for it.
Right? Christy, take it over. Thank you.
Is Tyler Bucker playing tonight, Christy? Okay.
He's not in uniform, Eric.
Big time. Congratulations. I thought you said Tyler Smith. No, I didn't. I wasn't listening.
You really weren't listening. What were you doing?
I was gloating in the fact that we were one for one with Sham.
Let's see what tailgate party I want to be at. Somebody's cooking some dino ribs.
Sham? He's probably talking with Tolos.
No, he was. People were putting menu items in and stuff like that.
Doesn't have that excuse. You're talking to Babe.
I was basking in the ambiance of not having Brad Sham shark my face off in the first interview of the season. Okay? And I got ahead of myself.
Back to you, Eric, you idiot.
That is quite an accomplishment.
Yeah.
I'm proud of myself.
I'm proud of C.J. Stroud right now because he's officially been given the opportunity to be a real-life NFL quarterback. Can you believe that? Only took him two seasons of football.
We're playing preseason week three? What are we doing?
No, what he's allowed to do this now.
Oh, call his own place?
Steven Ruiz of the Ringer. Got a nice little C.J. Stroud article up, and one of the things that he points out there is that for the first time in C.J. Stroud's NFL career, he will be able to get this, change protections, and audible at the line of scrimmage.
Well, not everybody's allowed to do that now.
I mean, I don't understand in what world. Like, Bobby Slowick just lost his job.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that, because from the sideline, he didn't know what the hell he was doing, okay? And so I understand
maybe not day one. We kind of liked Bobby at one time, didn't we?
Yeah, he's a hypocrite. He loved Bobby. Now he hates Bobby.
I thought
there's a lot of things we like. And then, I mean, heck, Walchuk
never evolved.
Walchuk didn't like C.J. Stroud. Now all of a sudden, C.J. Stroud's the man.
Now I've got him in my top 10.
Walchuk believed in Dak.
Yeah. I mean, Broaddus was a Will Levis guy. We don't talk about it, okay? We don't talk about it.
That's my guy. Okay, don't talk about him like that.
There's plenty of things we like. And then we learn more. We realize we were wrong. And that's how I am on Bobby Slowick.
We just admit we were wrong, we move on. But, like, Bo Nix, that guy shouldn't have the ability to go ahead and audible. I want to stick with whatever Sean Payton's calling.
There are outlier situations. When you have a Sean Payton, Super Bowl champion, guy who knows what he's doing, one of the best offensive minds in the league, who has to basically be a babysitter for his quarterback and throw nothing but line of scrimmage throws and pray to God one of his skill players can go make a play, that's a different deal. Is C.J. Stroud Bo Nix? I would say no. I think we learned C.J. Stroud wasn't Bo Nix in the first 5 seconds of his rookie year. Now all of a sudden in year three, they're like, go be an NFL quarterback now. think that's going to be a good thing.
Maybe
for a team
good at audible.
For a team that was consistently just getting sacked and the pressures, and it's like, well, because CJ Stroud's going, maybe I'm not allowed to do anything.
Maybe they'll win that first Saturday playoff game that they've lost for the last 4 years.
The noon kick.
No, they won it last year because Justin Herbert's so bad.
Was it I think last that was year? The case with.
Oh, that's right, they did.
Okay, I think that was the case with Dak Prescott till about the end of year three. You get Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper is confused as to why they're not changing the route at the line. That was the story, right? And Amari Cooper had to convince Dak, next time they give us this look, please change the play. I'm going to score a touchdown. Dak's like, dude, I just run what Linehan says here. You know, and I think around the time, Brian told us a story that Sean Payton was jealous because he had a quarterback in Dallas that wasn't audibling out of everything. Because what will happen is quarterbacks will start audibling into nonstop passes. They're neglecting the run game. You know, and I think with a young quarterback, you know, that was the case with Jared Goff with McVay. So I would be curious to see how common that is and how, like, overwhelming it is for a young quarterback to try to get set pre-snap.
Well, for the Cowboys, it was Travis Frederick in that Wall 2.0 that just came out. Frederick would be overriding Romo and Dak's calls and the coaching staff's calls. And, hey, eventually Romo just said, I trust you. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Dak, same thing. But sometimes it is the center if you trust the center.
Huh. Yeah, yeah. But we know the Texans, not really anybody on that offensive line you can trust, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I would say so.
Okay, so let's get to the crash outs. Did you know, Broadus? Because this was news to me last night as I was watching episode 2 of the Cowboys documentary.
So you're saying I have to watch this thing?
That when Charles
you
Haley...
You should watch it. You're going to love it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. When Charles Haley was with the Niners, he wanted a trade so bad that he went into the general manager's office and then took a leak on his desk
John
and said,
yeah.
trade me.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all time.
Yeah. And punched the head coach.
And I haven't even...
George
Seifert.
I'm surprised.
Turned to dust.
I'm surprised he survived that.
Yeah.
Charles Haley is amazing. I love listening to him talk on this documentary. The self-awareness is so real with him.
Probably
it's like, dude, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, everything that I said probably was wrong, but whatever, you know?
I mean, I think that's just scratching the surface with some of the stuff Charles Haley pulled off, too, throughout his career.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, the amount of stories that we probably don't know about Charles. Like, Michael Irvin's on there going like, hey, you guys are doing this documentary. There's a lot of crazy personalities and things like that. No one is on the same tier as Charles Haley, who talks about having three different personalities and the rage that would build up inside him and how he had no ability to control it and really no desire to. I mean, a truly, truly frightening human being. And now he's singing happy birthday at the fine to the fine Charlotte Jones. You know, what a turnaround.
It's a testament to probably his hard work and some help from, you know, different medical industries and pharmaceuticals that he's so functional
Eli
as he
Lilly.
Is today.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. So that's, I would call it crash out number one. That's a legendary story from Charles Haley. Then today you get the news. I'm not even going to say the NBA player's name because it's really not fair to him. But there's an NBA player whose dad went scorched in a parking lot. Due to a door ding situation. It's a door ding situation. Apparently, the dad here who ends up totally crashing out is the one that dinged the door. Now he's in a verbal spat with the guy, and then they get into a bit of an altercation, and then bam, stabs him multiple times. Multiple times.
The dinger was also the stabber.
The dinger was
dinger
the stabber.
Was the stabber.
There's no recovering from this in front of a judge.
Yeah.
No way. No. Especially when you hear the graphic details of like witnesses saying like they saw the guts of guy like coming out and he's in critical condition now and all that kind of stuff.
Ooh.
Really, really bad situation. Andy Reid, we found out today in 2024, almost got struck by gunfire at the Chiefs facility.
Yeah. Wow. This is a crazy story.
He's in his office and then bullet comes and hits the wall or whatever. He's totally fine. They don't think anybody was aiming it at him necessarily. It was just, you know, shots fired, gone awry, and it hits the facility. So now he's got, like, bulletproof glass around his office, and I'm assuming throughout the facility they probably have to deal with that a little bit more now.
Okay, a couple of thoughts on that. Number one, do we know the date on that and where Hagee was on that particular time?
That's a good question. This might have been during the Germany trip.
Does he really – he hates Andy, right?
Yeah, he does.
He hates Andy?
He thinks he's a bad person and a bad
Chiefs
father.
Organization just
covered up his son's crime.
So, okay.
And then number two, you know, this was probably over 10 years ago, right, Lucius? Matt Stack's office kind of got shot up. Was that down on 5 or was that 10?
Yeah, sure was. Yeah. It was all over the news, man.
Yeah. Yeah, we 75 and Fitzy took some gunfire.
Yeah, so. Somebody rolled by and gave a pow, pow to the station.
Which is wild.
Was it? So that wasn't shots awry? That wasn't intentional? Do we know?
I mean, maybe they were just shooting to shoot and our building happened to be in the way.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't like some of our promotions.
Yeah, that's what
Matt threw a hell of a party.
That's what Matt said. Matt said, yeah, I'm pretty sure they were trying to shoot me. I was like, okay, yeah, Matt.
Taking over DFW radio promotions.
Bro.
Nobody throws a party like me. Too much of a threat to iHeart.
You also have, how about this for a headline here? Pro Football Talk, Texan safety Jimmy Ward has been sued by the mother of his 3-year-old child for an alleged meth-fueled physical and sexual assault.
Oh, wow.
I mean,
yeah, it's messed up.
Wow, bro.
Wow, what are we doing?
Jimmy Ward.
Went full Diddy.
With a little meth action going on.
He's being sued and not arrested?
I think he's already been arrested.
Yeah, he's been arrested twice just recently.
Okay.
And now the suing is, I think he's got a criminal suit and a civil suit that he's now
it's
in the
really,
midst of.
Really, really bad.
And apparently a meth problem.
Thoughts
and a
prayers.
Meth problem. No question.
Full plate.
And everybody's trying to figure out what happened to Lil Nas X, who was hospitalized after being found half naked roaming the L.A. streets in a very bizarre video.
He was straight up whitey-tidying.
He's got
up and down
the white cowgirl boots and the whitey-tidies. And that's it.
It's quite the image.
And I can't tell if it's he's promoing something for interest or if he really like smoked something and got out there, got turned out.
You getting the bath salts?
I would think because the only thing that gets you like naked like that is
tequila.
Angel dust.
Oh.
When you get dusty like that, you'll get a little naked and start walking the groove. You know? And that's what he was doing. But, you know, you never know with him because, you know, he'll pull some antics. So I don't know if he's off into the drugs and he hit the blade or whatever. Because, you know, it happens with people. Martin Lawrence one time out there in L.A. lost his mind in traffic. And I think he was, like, waving guns and whatnot. Blue Cantrell, who's connected to Jay-Z, she got a pretty cool song back in the day. She took off all her clothes, got butt naked in the middle of traffic. So it happens, but
hell yeah.
I don't know, bro.
That's great. I guess it's a new game we could play. Crash Out or Roll Out?
Yeah!
Yes! Crash Out or Roll Out.
So
I like
good.
It.
That's good.
That is strong. Yes, that's good radio instincts there from Eric Giafalo. And maybe that explains, you know, Wolchuk's appearance in that Speedo last year up there.
That was meth-induced.
That was my choice,
sure.
Man.
That's Southern Leisure. Meth, PCP.
Hey, living the sober life.
We're live here at Jake's in Fort Worth, and Fan Phenom's coming up here in just 19 minutes. On the other side, we'll talk with Fred and Blake, see what is cooking here for Fan After Dark coming up next. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. We're live at Jake's in Fort Worth, and Fan Phenom about to get underway. We got at least a dozen or more participants, a full dining room as well. We're going to have a party here as well. So whether you want to try out to be the next fan host or just come fellowship with Wolchuk and the guys, we're here at Jake's in Fort Worth for you. Okay, tomorrow, of course, Cowboys pregame show at 6. Brian Chiafalo, Wolchuk will be at the stadium, and looking forward to coverage of that. Tune in tomorrow starting at 2 o'clock. But Fan After Dark coming up next, guys. How you been?
We feel good. Haven't talked to you guys in a good little minute. Back in the studio, it's nice and lonely. You guys aren't here. You're holding down the set at Jake's Burgers, but we're holding it down here at the studio.
What do you got planned for the show this evening?
We are jacked for today's show. It's a Thursday edition. Look, tomorrow's the last preseason game, so a lot of future PE teachers and bouncers playing tomorrow night, so we're excited about that. But who needs to solidify that 9th or 10th spot on the roster tomorrow night? We'll discuss that. Our boy Corey Chavis is going to join us at 8 o'clock, talking all things, front of the program, talking all things NFL football as he is wont to do. And dare I say, as a, you know, newcomer to the DFW area and, you know, a casual Cowboy fan, I'm 3 episodes into the Gambler documentary. And I'm just going to say this. It is Last Dance level good.
Nice.
I I'll put it to you like this, and we'll get more into it during the show, but you just kind of wish that Jerry would get out of his own way and hire another Jimmy Johnson. I mean, that's my takeaway through three episodes. Jerry's still the same swashbuckling guy, but he doesn't have his foil in Jimmy Johnson to tell guys that have asthma to get on the other field and have your asthma somewhere else.
It was a beautiful time, and you're right. Yeah, he needs a football genius in there. So, I mean, Jerry is maybe the best owner ever, you know, and he should take pride in that, having relationships with a guy like a Jimmy Johnson, you know, able to do everything that he did, and together they were unstoppable, Fred. So I'd say that's a good takeaway. So
how about Daddy Jones, by the way, with the, hey, what happens when you miss that interest payment to Jimmy Hoffa and the Teamsters?
Incredible.
You may end up in a you know, with cement shoes on. So shout out to Daddy Jones, who apparently was pretty shrewd himself.
The Micah story getting super interesting today as well. Are you guys ready for like another 20 months of this, if this is how far it drags out? I mean, can we just stop talking about it? What's the strat there?
I'm not sure what the strat is, because we did the same thing last year with Dak and CD. Obviously, this is a little bit different, but we're used to Cowboys stars getting strung out. I think at this point, it looks like he's just going to play, and there's not going to be some brand new deal that comes in the next couple of days, because how many times do we see players negotiate in the middle of the season? We don't. So we've got probably the next week, and if it's not done by then, I guess this is Micah's last year under his contract, and then we'll see what happens from there. But I'm with you, Gavin. Just let's play
just
ball.
Urinate on somebody's desk. That should get it taken care of.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the best way to do it,
right?
Hey, Blake, how should I go about this fan phenom deal?
Okay, so if I was in your shoes, I would love to be there. I would say be hard on them, not to scare them away, but just kind of see what their response is, especially in the first 30 seconds. You know, throw them off their game, and if they're able to easily recover, be adaptable, be a chameleon, then you know maybe we're cooking with greasy. If they get a little frazzled, they start shying away, they get a little scared, and hey, still a great person, but maybe radio's not for you. So, Zach, I say, you know, they've gotten two weeks in a row of CA, Chiafalo, Lil Fred, so they've gotten some softballs, some nice guys up there. It's a compliment. It's a compliment.
Hey, you've gotten some softballs.
It's a compliment. It's a compliment. Wooly Bully.
So the guy who has no children.
Wooly Bully. Softballs. I need you to be a bully tonight. I need you to bring that bull, the horns tonight.
If you got what it takes to go toe-to-toe with the Wooly Bully, join us. Jake's in Fort Worth on Maine. Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup Master Control there. Just went about 2.5 flawless there following a Rangers defeat. Thanks to Woolchuck and Chiafalo here, and Brian Broaddus, of course, Ruben Portillo, remote engineering. All right, Fan After Dark is up next on air and here at Jake's in Fort Worth. The Fan Phenom, still time to come and sign up till tomorrow at 2. You're going home with the nation. At ease.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.